good at all times and in all places. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us now pray that prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May Christ, true body and true blood, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. Go now in his peace. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the saving gift of your Son's body and blood, and we humbly ask that you would enable us to find refuge in your holy name and to take this name into the world through lives of love and service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Hey, how are you? How about you? Everything good?
Good.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice. When are you, where are you playing out? Sunday. Yeah, it's a rough one for you. It's like East. Next time you play, let us know. Eileen, Tom's back with his band. He's playing second guitar player for his band.
I love the band.
Nice. Gearing it up. Yeah, yeah. Awesome, man. I'm glad. Yeah, let me know in April because busy season ends usually by the 5th, hopefully, by the 15th. So let me know. I'll go. How are you feeling? was saying a prayer for you when I saw you at the heart. I was like, awesome, you know. So it's good, man. It's really good.
And I just still recorded about 5 weeks ago.
Awesome. Another rock guy. Progressive guy. Always be a fan of me. He likes the same kind of music, so that's
the bonus.
Show Tom the Neil Morse thing you got. You know Neil Morse's? Look at what you put it in your pocket. You're up a pocket.
That's why I have the old address. No, the reason I have the old address?
Yeah, yeah.
I have.
Thank you.
I have
you got to, right? Yeah. I think that's really cool. He met Neil Morse.
Really?
He's met him, but right?
Neil Morse.
You know him. Isn't that cool? Honey, look at this picture he got signed by everybody in the band. That was awesome.
Well,
that's Portnoy playing drums with him from Dream Theater. Got everybody signed from Neil Morse. That's who Steve went to see. Del Beck when Trina went last weekend. Marlene is Portnoy's wife, right? That's awesome. That's really cool. That's really cool. Well, you keep getting better, okay? I'm going to set this crap up. My back will get better at some point. I just don't know when. I haven't. No, I got to get it. But after busy season, everything for busy season for me ends. Life ends for like 2 months. So. Gillette's which player? Which guy? It's off. Okay. Yeah, well, good luck with the band, too. Okay, and let me know. All right. I'll see you soon. Yeah, I know.
We got to say something. We have to say something. They're not going to get it unless you know.
Say something.
Test.
Scott Calvo.
Nope. Hey, Howie. Can you hear me talking like this? Howie, can you hear me from this? You can, okay. This is good. Okay.
I'm so far away. I'm forgetting you can't. You can.
That's too loud.
But you can hear me if I talk like this.
Yes.
Okay.
Very clearly.
Okay.
Very clearly.
I always think it's too far away.
What is that? What you were doing when I was out there?
No, I was here. I was talking like this.
That was perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, when you get too close to this one.
No,
grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson as well as from our psalm for today, Psalm 91. Well, the devil knows the Bible. It's important to remember that. Not just because it's in our reading that we had here for today, but it's also because he uses the same tactics that he used on Jesus on us as well. So we're going to look at how he works and what tools we have at our disposal as well. Now, the first Sunday in Lent begins by having Jesus being tempted by the devil. Up until this point in Jesus' life, it's been hands off, right? Devil hasn't been going after him, not doing anything. But just the chapter before there, we find that while Jesus, he was baptized. And so when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, basically anointing him, setting him aside for ministry. Luke tells us that Jesus was 30 years old when this began, when all this happened. And it was then that we also find there too that, talking about Jesus, he gives us a genealogy. And it goes from Jesus all the way back to Adam. Now we go back to Adam there at the beginning. What do we find back there in Genesis? Well, we have the first man, We've got the first woman there, and then there's the serpent. Now, we learn from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 there, that the serpent is the devil. And what did the devil do? He tempted Adam and Eve. The devil used three tactics on them. The first one was casting doubt on God's word. Serpent's talking to Eve there. It's like, did God really say that? Second thing that he uses is that he contradicts God's word. You know, they knew that if they were to eat of this forbidden fruit here, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they were going to die. And the devil said, no, you're not going to die. And then he made the third thing that he uses, promises of his own. He's like, no, you eat of this, that you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what happened? Well, Adam and Eve succumbed to that temptation. And that inclination to sin, as they did, has been passed on to us all. But the serpent, the devil, well, he stuck around. He still is around. In fact, he stuck around, and so that when Jesus came, well, he went after Jesus as well. But what's something that we learn in the Bible about Jesus and why he came? If you go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, we read there, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came to take on the devil and destroy him. And this is why we have it there in our gospel reading for today, where we have the Holy Spirit leading Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Mano a mano, man to man. Well, really, it's not that, is it? It's God versus another created being. And when God's taking on anybody, who do you suppose is going to win? Well, the first thing that we find out here is that Luke tells us that Jesus ate nothing during those 40 days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. Now, they don't put it in the translation, but I think duh belongs after that, don't you think? You know, sure he would be. After 40 days, you'd be hungry too after not eating anything. And the first thing that we know here is that, well, the devil there likes to attack us when we're weak. So when we're hungry and needing sustenance because we're bodily, physically feeling weak, the devil's going to go after us. There are times then when we're emotionally weak and we're open to suggestion. Well, the devil's going to attack us then too. Or when we're spiritually weak and we're needing direction in our lives, the devil's going to attack us then too. So when he attacks, think about this in that third temptation for Jesus. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Start off by saying, devil knows the Bible better than you, better than me. Because he does, he can quote the Bible when it suits his purposes. Taking it out of context, twisting it, lying, doing just about anything with it. And when it is just a half-truth there, and you don't know your Bible very well, many times he's already halfway there to leading you into temptation and to sin. You need to know your Bible. And so what tactic is he using here then in our lesson for today? Taking it out of context. And where did the devil get something like this to go after Jesus? We go to our psalm. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Well, he's asking Jesus here to call on God to save him. Let the angels come and rescue you. For the psalm continues on here, verse 14. It's not in our lesson today, but it continues on saying this. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. You can count on God. That's what the devil's saying. You can count on God. You know, go stand in front of that moving car. You'll be okay. God will save you. Pick up those deadly snakes. They won't bite. Jump off the building. Do all these things. But how does Jesus respond? Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus knows that the devil is going to go after him in his weakness. Whether it be turn the stones into bread, fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus. How does Jesus fight these temptations? He responded every time with the word of God. He responded with God's word because he knows it. And if you don't read it, how are you going to know how to respond during those times of temptation? Take, for example, our psalm. Nowhere in there does it say, "Test the Lord your God." Go ahead, try him. No, it's not in there. Rather, it is all about what God will do when evil comes your way. And when will evil come your way? Could be any time, really. But it's going to happen when you are weak. Because the devil knows that God is your refuge in times of trouble. So what's he going to do? He's going to come after you. Who's creating that trouble again? The devil is. But lest you throw all your problems on us, like, "Oh, the devil made me do it." No, there's times in which, because of our own sinful nature, we get ourselves in plenty of trouble too. We don't need that help. Goes right back to Adam. That inclination to sin. Time and again, as you go through that psalm there, it is the Lord God who is coming to your rescue when there's times of trouble. And it's because of that, and we learn that we then in turn lean on God for help. Because that's when we need to remember that Jesus came here to undo the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. The devil wrought temptation. Jesus was indeed tempted, but he never sinned. The devil sought to get rid of Jesus at that opportune time. Jesus suffered, nailed to a cross, died on that cross. The devil thought he won then, but it turns out that the cross was his biggest defeat ever. The sinless Jesus did not die, but rose from the grave alive with the result of giving hope to those who believe. When the sin in our lives condemns us forever, Jesus redeemed us, bought us back with his body and blood shed for us on that cross. And as he rose from the grave alive, this is what gives us that hope of everlasting life. And I repeated that just like that, because why? That is the essence of our faith. And the devil tries to separate us from our faith using the very same tactics he used on Jesus. The devil tempts us to do some foolish things. Test God. You'll be all right. Don't fall for that evil or other subtler temptations. Like those who say, he's like, "I can go and do whatever I want throughout the week because, on Sunday I can come here and get forgiven. And then go back out and do whatever I want the rest of the week and do it all over again." Don't buy into that. Don't buy into the folks who say, it's like, "Well, all the things in the Bible that I like, that's God's word. And those things that I don't like in the Bible, that's not God's word." You can't pick and choose what is God's word and what is not. You see, everything in there is God's word, whether we like it or not. It's his word.